Welcome to the Interesting Podcast, episode number 212. This episode is with Sifu Tracy Fleming. He's a world champion martial artist, a fight choreographer, and honestly, one of the coolest people I've ever trained with. Tracy and I met back in October of 2023 when he was teaching a stunt workshop alongside Ryan Watson. And let me tell you, I knew from the moment we met, I had to have him on the show, and well, here he is. In this episode, we talk about him training in martial arts from the time he was 6 years old, being inspired by Bruce Lee, learning different styles of kung fu, competing and winning gold in China, how he got into fight choreography, performing in the Mortal Kombat live show tour, hiding in bleachers to meet Pat Johnson, the spiritual side of martial arts, and so much more. Tracy is such a well of knowledge and inspiration, and I am so excited for you all to get to know him. So, let's just get right into it. Without further ado, please enjoy this episode of the Interesting Podcast, number 212, with Tracy Fleming. Theme song time.
Brian, how you doing, man? Good seeing you.
Yeah, back at you. How you been?
I've been doing great, man. Busy.
Yeah?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I like being busy. How about you?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it depends on what type of busy it is.
Fair point.
Fun busy, or it could be hard, working hard busy. But I try to make sure I stay busy with fun busy.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I hear you. If you don't like doing what you're doing, then the busy takes longer, it feels like.
Yes, it does. It does. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Are you in Virginia?
Yes, I'm in Virginia. I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Nice. I was born in the Outer Banks.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's not far.
Not super far. I lived on a farm out there in North Carolina before I moved to Florida.
Oh, wow. That's nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
How long have you been living in Florida for?
Oh, too long. I'm ready to leave it.
Yeah, yeah. Florida's unique, though. I mean, there's not a lot of places like Florida.
That's true. That is true. I like to say that Florida is the Australia of the States. It's its own thing that doesn't really connect with anything else. And it's anything goes, it feels like.
Yes, it has its own animals, its own species.
Uh-huh.
Everything, yeah.
Humans awesome. And otherwise.
Yeah, the news is entertaining. You can just look at the news and wow, I've never seen this anywhere else, but it's awesome.
Yeah, we got our own Florida man.
Yeah.
We earn our headlines. I feel like as long as I don't become a Florida man headline, I've escaped unfazed. You know what I mean? That's the goal, is to not be that.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
Are you from Virginia?
Yeah, I'm from Richmond, Virginia. But I lived in Florida. My first Florida, I started going there when I was 14 years old to train at the temple of Master Chan Poi, the Wado Temple in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I met Ryan Watson
at. Oh, okay. You're 14, really? Because I know you started martial arts training like super young.
Yes, I started martial arts when I was six.
You were six?
Yeah, I started when I was six. But I wasn't too serious, During that time, it was the Bruce Lee era.
Sure. Yeah.
It was, you had, all the theaters downtown. My mother used to drop me and my older brother off. There'd be triple double features. And she'd drop us off at 12 o'clock during the day. And we would not be ready to call until 12 o'clock at night. Because it'd be three or four theaters, and they have double, triple features. And we'd go from one to the next to the next.
Right on.
Watching kung fu movies all day long, and I just fell in love with Bruce Lee and wanted to do kung fu,
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favorite Bruce Lee movie?
Well, Enter the Dragon. I mean, I've seen all those movies I've seen in the theater. So, imagine being and seeing them right in front of your face. I've seen Fearless Hyena in the theater.
What?
And, all of those movies. So, when you come up and you're like living there, you're right there with the popcorn and everything else. It's like you're like, I can do that. I know I can do it.
Yeah. And
my mother actually got me and my brother. We were all put into different things. My brother actually was put into dance.
Oh, okay.
He did several Broadway shows.
Wow.
back in the day, and now he lives in Alabama. But yeah, he did Tap Dance Kid and Sophisticated Ladies and a couple of other major Broadway shows. Of Course Line, he did that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And by me going to New York, I would go to New York and see him. So I was interacting. I was around all types of stars all the time.
Sure.
I got to meet Gregory Hines, the Nicholas Brothers, Harold Nicholas, Phyllis
mm-hmm.
Hines, all of these famous people. So it made me want to strive for something great, you know. And when I got involved in the martial arts, I started in Taekwondo.
Cool.
And the same school, Kim School. And then after that, I got my black belt when I was 12, and then I started Kung Fu. And
ah.
Change, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
It helps that you had a brother, so you have like a built-in sparring partner.
Yes, we're brothers, of course, you know. And they beat you up, and then you know you learn things.
Yep.
I see you and your brother, y'all like to do great things. You know what I'm saying? You know, mm-hmm. but you know, best friend. Then you know, at the same time, you know, you go through so many tumultuous things, but you still grow together. So that's the main thing.
Oh yeah. It's funny. You're the younger brother?
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
So what's the age difference between you two?
Well, actually, he was born in 61. I was born in 69. So it's 8 year difference.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a baby.
Okay. So you had to learn how to fight. Yeah, he had a huge head start.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
My brother's 2 years younger than me. And so we were around the same size. And then he got taller than me. And so I learned to fight bigger opponents pretty quickly. Because he went from my younger brother to my taller brother. And now I'm like, it doesn't matter how tall you are when you're on your back.
Yeah. I know. When I saw a picture of you, I'm like, wow, he is bigger and taller. So,
yeah. That's my little brother.
When did it change? It was like,
oh, dude.
You were taller, and the next time you're trying to raise, like, he's getting taller than me.
That's how it felt. I went to sleep one day, and then he's just bigger. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
He taught me a valuable lesson, though. He taught me to use my surroundings. I remember I think I was 12. I was about 12, so he was 10, and he was already getting taller than me. And I was like, oh, no. And we were fighting one time, and we were in my room and whatever, and he got on top of me, and he had, like, his hands around my neck, you know, as brothers do.
Yeah.
And I have this really fun thing called asthma. And so I'm starting to lose, but we're right next to the wall of our room. And I was like, I'm looking. And I was able to get enough force to grab his head and just smash it into the wall. He got dazed and I won. And I was like, a valuable lesson as a small child. Use your surroundings.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's how you came up really good with using your fight scene. You know, I was like, wow. And I use your surroundings as well.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to, you know, that's the thing. And in real life, that's the other thing. In real life, there's everything at your disposal. And, you know, you're not on a padded gym with air conditioning when it usually goes south for real. So it's like,
And then real price, anything can happen. So you got to use what you can use to get out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
What made you want to do Kung Fu after you'd already gotten your black belt in Taekwondo? Did you feel like you'd won and now to move to another thing?
Yeah, well, you know, my first love was going to those double features and seeing Kung Fu.
Mm-hmm.
And in our town, you know, really wasn't any Kung Fu schools and stuff, but it was only like Taekwondo or Karate. But when we were doing martial arts, I think I was a brown belt, and one of my buddies came and he said, man, that's a Kung Fu school over in Tarrytown. I said, what? He said, wow. So we, you know, we rode by and went to look inside and stuff, and you know, you see the people in there, and the movement was different, the way they did stuff. And then to come to find out that it was a real system, because they had a brochure where you can take a brochure, and I took a brochure and read it. And I was like, wow. So, you know, but one thing about me is that I had to at least get my black belt before I was going to move to somewhere else. But
sure.
Once I got that, and I was like, okay, you know what? Now I'm ready to do Kung Fu. So, and that's how I got involved into it. So,
okay. I like that. I like that you had the commitment where you're like, I'm going to finish this thing first and then move to the other thing.
Yes,
a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people to finish something that you start is a skill that a lot of people I find don't have. A lot of people start a lot of things, but they never finish it.
Yes. Yes.
And you had that from a young age. Was that something that like you learned from your parents, or you just had that innate in you?
That was actually something that I always wanted to do. I mean, mostly all the systems of martial arts that I learned, I pretty much got certificates in all the styles that I trained in. So
yeah.
No, that's the main thing. If I feel like you're going to do it, you need to really represent it and do it the right way.
Yeah.
Dibbling and dabbling. And I have that dibbling and dabbling in other arts, but I haven't been in one area long enough. Like, I did kind of work for a little bit, but I was in the area long enough to continue. But if I pretty much decided I'm going to focus, I really want to learn it, I'm going to try to go as far as I can to learn as much as I can.
I'm the same way. I have two settings. I'm either 100% invested or entirely apathetic. Like, I either don't care at all or I care the most. I don't know what that is. I'm just wired that way.
Yeah, well, I can tell. You know, when we first saw you and, you know, and everybody else in the room, you had that light, you know, and I
Yeah.
was like, this guy here, I said, you know, Ryan, I said, man, you know, we were talking about doing short films. I said, this is the guy, you know, he'd be really good for doing some, you know, short stuff with us because of the way your whole attitude of approaching something and making it conscious, making it yours.
Yeah.
You know, some people can do stuff, same thing with any type of art or acting, anything else. You can act and want to act like someone else, but when you can take it and make it your own, that's what makes it special. You know what I'm saying? Time and determination to make it your own.
Yeah, it does. Because you have to come into your own. You know, that's like speaking of Bruce Lee, he's one of those people that's like, there is no one style better than another. They're only good martial artists. So, like, there could be someone who's great at one thing that isn't as good as the other thing.
You're right.
You know, it's a personal journey.
You're right. You're right. And most of the time when people have that type of thing happens, it's normally you have a down period. Something bad has to happen to make you decide that, you know what, this is never going to happen to me again. I'm going to mold myself. I'm going to become something completely different from what everybody else sees.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's what they say, out of the darkness comes the light.
Uh-huh.
You got to have down periods for the light to come out.
True. It also gives you that perspective. You know, you can't have gratitude unless you've been through something to show that you didn't have it. You know, the people who enjoy food the most are the ones who were hungry. You know, did you find, because I know Taekwondo is very much, it's a lot of kicking. It's a lot of, when you're competing, it's a lot of point system and stuff. How did you like Kung Fu when you started it? Because it's a pretty different style.
Yeah, well, you know, the system that I learned, luckily, it was a praying mantis. It was called Wailong Tim Tui Praying Mantis. And the Wailong was the grandmaster of the system. His name was Lin Kuan Shan. And his family style was Tim Tui. There was a movie called Tim Tui, My 12 Kicks. The thing about Tim Tui, the Tim Tui style is a kicking system. So family style. His father taught him that system. So once he mastered that system, his father said, okay, you know what? You're good with your legs. He said, now I'm going to take you to learn hands. So he took him to a monastery, and Wailong was in a dense forest. So it was a dense forest. And at that time in China was turbulent. So a lot of the Shaolin monks, a lot of temple, martial arts temples was burnt down, but Shaolin monks were still opening up schools. So this temple was still run by a Shaolin monk, but it was in the woods. This monk practiced praying mantis hand techniques. So So when I started learning Wailong, I realized, wow, they got kicks too. And that actually, me learning Taekwondo enhanced my Kung Fu because, you know, some Kung Fu guys, they do kicks, but it's not the same. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
With Taekwondo, it gave me that extra oomph to actually, you know, make my kicks snap more and more power. And that enhanced my Kung Fu training. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you already had like a foundation essentially to build onto, and then you just added technique on top of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So what, how many different, because I know you do a lot of like animal styles. How many different animal style Kung Fu do you know?
Well, I was able to learn from my teacher, like I said, the praying mantis template system. But while we were training with him, he would bring other masters for us to learn because he was a famous grandmaster, Chan Kui.
Yeah.
You know, most people know about him. He's well renowned, but he also had his friends who were other grandmasters. They would come to the school. So I would learn, like, I learned Choi Le Phut. Choi Le Phut is actually a combination of a Buddha's palm fist along with panther and elephant trunk and horse style. That's Choi Le Phut. But then I end up, when I had my school in Richmond, I had this guy coming to my school. His name was Charlie Hong, and he was looking to teach martial arts. And he was from Beijing. And I said, you know what? You can teach in my school. And when I saw how good he was, I was like, look, you don't have to pay me any rent. You know what I'm saying? I said, just
Sure.
let me learn from you. So I ended up learning from him, and he did five animal, eight method style called Wuxing Buffalo. So
Cool.
I learned that system as well. So that's the five animal system. That's tiger, crane, leopard, snake, and dragon system. So, and then I
Dude.
also Filipino martial arts. I trained with Guru, I'm a Guru Rafino Pambon in the Pambon Ornisis. So,
Whoa. Do you ever think back on that with like you're a kid, you're going to these double features, you love these kung fu movies, and then all of a sudden you're living a kung fu movie, having a grandmaster from China in your school and you're learning under him? Like, how cool is that?
yeah, it was cool. It was awesome. I never expected it would happen the way it did. I mean, you know, and I really like it got to the point where my master, when I first met him, he wanted me to come and live at the temple with his nephews and train with him.
Yeah.
So I told my dad, I said, I really want to do it. And I got a job cutting grass for the summer.
There you go.
The amount of money I had, and he's like, you know what? He started taking me down to Florida. He loved NASCAR. So he would go
Yeah.
to Daytona to see the races, and he would drop me off at the temple, and I would go and train.
Perfect.
Then when I graduated high school, Master Chan said, come and live. And I went down to the temple, and I lived down there, and I trained. And so I trained
Wow.
for like 4 or 5 years, and it was really awesome. You know, like I said, you have your ups and your downs. And
Of course.
I became the top student in the school. And, you know, then that's when a lot of the trouble started changing, things started changing. But
Right.
it was great. I mean, I can't complain. I learned so many things to learn from a grandmaster, to learn the ancient cultural ways about history, philosophy, herbology,
Yeah.
astrology, and all of that stuff. It was great. It was a great. I would never change my experience for anything. So,
Dude.
and I got to meet a lot of great people, you know.
Yeah. Build out that sort of family that you have, you know, in those sort of environments when you're bonding by fists, you know.
What is it? I also said Master Ryan Watson.
Yeah.
He came to the school. I was 18 at the time, and I was teaching classes. He was 14, but he came from Colorado, and he did Kempo. And
Yeah.
so, you know, but he was looking for animal system, and he came in, he was doing little Kempo techniques, and I saw him. I said, man, you know what? You're gonna be really, really good one day. And he looked at me and he smiled, you know. And that's when I, you know, ended up going back to Richmond, and I came back, but. He, by the time I came back, he was 16, 17 years old, and he was rocking. He was doing his thing. So, yeah,
Whoa.
we ended up hooking up, and we ended up, Master Chen would do line dances for Chinese New Year. And me and Ryan, we call ourselves, he was White Lightning, and I was Black Magic, Black Magic, White Lightning. And we did fight scenes. So we used to look at, but during that time, that was when Jackie Chan was really popular. So all the movies like Dragon, Millionaire Express, Dragons Forever, all those movies. We would emulate those fight scenes, and we'd do those fight scenes over and over again. And we got to be so good that we actually got a job working at the Asian dinner show called Asian Dimension.
Oh, cool. Look at that.
Yeah, so you know, it was funny when we went there to go audition for Asian Adventure because they want Asian fighters, Asian fight scenes, and me and Ryan go there, and the guys are like, you know what? Guys are American. He says, we have Asian people. He says, but y'all better than all the Asians that's been here. He looked at me and said, you know what? You can wear a ninja mask. You wear a ninja mask. We're making ninjas. And we became ninjas, and we used to fight at the dinner show. It was an Asian dinner show at International in Orlando. Yeah.
That's
So,
amazing. See,
yeah.
that's another thing with like with demonstrations, you know, and you're doing these sort of things, there is a performative element to it. So that's why I find that a lot of people that like are in stunts for movies and TV, a lot of them have like a big time competitive martial arts background because you're putting on these demonstrations, which is a performance. You know, so I love that you guys met at a temple. That's pretty cool.
That's how
You
we met.
know, right? When you find those kindred spirits, you're like, oh, we're made of the same stuff. We should hang out for a little bit. And then you do so well that you start opening doors. That's pretty cool.
That was
Wow.
it. Yeah, that's we I've known him for a very long time. We go back many, many years, but you know, I ended up having like I got married early. I had children and stuff, and then you know he moved out to LA, But he was still doing his thing, and you know, and we decided to stay in contact, and we would meet sometimes in Orlando. Actually, I flew to LA a couple times and worked with him too. That was when he was 87-11 after he did 300.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you know, it was a lot of fun, and you know, like I said, but we still got some big things in place that we're trying to do. You know, and just making it happen. That's it. You know.
Hell yeah, still kicking, literally and figuratively.
True.
So when did you compete in China? I remember I read somewhere that you won gold in China. When did that happen?
Oh, that was in 93.
Okay. How old were you?
I was 24. I went to, we went to the Shaolin Jingzhou competition.
Whoa.
And it was in, it was actually about maybe a few miles from Shaolin Temple itself.
Oh.
And we went there and we were able to compete. And I was actually able to beat the national champion from Shaolin, you know.
Hell
and,
yeah, you did.
Yeah. And me and also my Kung Fu brother, Troy Parmigiano, he did Sei Chow. He won Sei Chow, and I won, you know, and I was the first American ever to do that. I was in all the newspapers and magazines. I had people, you know, because they couldn't believe that an American could come over and actually beat a national champion from China. So
yeah, I bet.
Yeah, it was pretty hype. It was hype at that time. I had a good time.
Dude, were you nervous?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Before I competed, we had food, and like we had food every day, and we had meat. But you know, everybody always said that, you know, beef is scarce, but we had meat every day.
Sure.
But that morning, we was eating breakfast, and while we was eating, my stomach just swelled up. Before the tournament, it just swelled up and got really big, like almost like, what is going on with this? I had, like, stomach virus, and I had to go to the toilet, man. And, and didn't go out there and compete, but I still went out there, and then I won, but it was just like, it was a lot going on. It was a lot. It was unique, you know?
Nothing's free, Tracy. Nothing is free.
Yeah, but we had a great time. It was excellent, and you know, I wouldn't turn that expression away for anything.
Dude, I love that this is kind of like an example of the law of equivalent exchange. You know, it's like you have to earn all this and go there and get sick right before, but because of this, you got the magazines and newspapers and recognition of the masters around you. But you know, that's the other side they don't tell you about. It's like he was sick at the time. Like, that makes it even cooler. If you went over and you won gold in the homeland, that's pretty cool. If you did it sick, that's even cooler. You know? Man. So when did you decide to teach? Because it's one thing to learn something and to dedicate yourself to learning it, but it's another to want to carry it on. When did that happen?
I actually started teaching at an early age. I had a school that I went back to Richmond and I opened up a school when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at the time, still me being 19, I knew that I still needed to enhance my skills, you know what I'm
saying?
I knew I wasn't good enough, you know? Mm-hmm. I different cats that will come down, because where I was at in Richmond, this is when a lot of people coming from New York. And I met a couple of cats that was unbelievable. Like, this guy came in my school one time. He had these long fingernails.
Ooh.
And he was like, yeah, I lived in a Chinese restaurant and I grew up with this family. And he says, I was a waiter and I would help clean. He says, but they taught me this style. I said, what style did you learn? He said, I learned snake style. I said, snake? I was like, wow. So he started doing like the techniques. And then this guy with these long fingernails, he grabs the floor and squeezes the floor and his nails bit back. And then he lifts his body up off the ground.
Oh.
And I was like, wow. Like, and he got up and started. And I was like, okay, he's really good. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Anybody fingernails do that. So I was like, man, he was like, you know, so I met him. I met a Southern Prairie Menace guy. And then I was like, you know what? I think I need to get a little bit better.
Sure, right? Yeah, that's possible.
So then that's when I went back to Florida, and that's when I really started getting serious into the the Shaolin training. Like it's another way. It's like Zen Buddhism. Okay, Zen Buddhism is based on the physical aspect of passing pain.
Right.
You know, your mind has to go past that pain state to achieve the nirvana status of reaching the highest level of martial
right.
arts. So once you're able to do that and focus your chi and your meditation doing that, then you can understand that what it is. Because even when you train, like they call it a runner's high, when you can't run a marathon and all of a sudden you reach that peak where you don't think you can go anymore, but you go, boom. And it's like, you feel it as a natural high. And it's a natural buzz. That's the state of nirvana. So it's like I was able to get to that level. And, you know, when I still do stuff, I still can feel and want to do and train in that form. That level.
Do you remember the first time it hit? Like the first time you reached that level, you're like, I've achieved it.
Well, you know, I went to go compete in a tournament in Houston. And this was in 90, I think 92 with my master. And I went to him. Because I couldn't really win. I was like, why am I not winning? He said, if you're not winning, he said, this is what you got to do. He had these pump flower poles in the back of the temple. And these poles are like stakes in the ground. They're all different levels. And he jumped on them. Boom, 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 boom. He says, if you really want to get good, he says, you got to stand on these poles every day for an hour. And he went through this whole combination of drills, meditation, and chi. And, you know, sometimes when a teacher tells you something, okay, you can listen to it or you take it to heart and you do it.
Right.
So every day for a year, I would jog, like, before the school opened, school, they open up at, like, 8. I would get there, like, an hour, hour and a half early, get on those poles, and I would train. I'm going to be able to send you and show you some of the pictures and stuff that I have.
Yeah, please.
I've seen you some stuff, so when, you know, we talked, then you can show some pictures as well.
Yeah.
And I was able to get on those poles every day and just train and get my energy to the level where I actually got mad one day and I went to kick. I had a car. I had a 65 Mustang at the time. And I took my footprint, like the whole footprint, like was around in the car from the power that I got. But once I got to that level of training, then when I compete, no one could beat me, because I was like, then I saw the level of what it was that he was trying to convey to me.
And
if you really want to focus, you got to, like I said, take your mind past levels that regular people can't see. But when you can do that, that's when, you know, the diamond in the rough will appear. You know,
sure. That's
we hit the gold mine. And that's exactly, you know, what it is, you know. So that's what that applies to anybody in life. You know, if you work hard, you go as hard as you can and dedicate yourself, that you can reach that plateau no matter what nobody say, no matter where you're at right now, no matter how things look, you can reach that level. So that's what I want everybody to know.
Yeah. See, that makes a lot of sense, because I've seen your demonstrations. It was like in 92 maybe, and it was you did a demo of a drunken style. And then there was a spear and then a 9-ring sword. I watched all three of them. And the thing I kept thinking of was your drunken style. The leg strength required for what you were doing. You went from completely flat to up on your toes without using your hands. I'm like, this is insane. Like, just the physicalness. I just kept thinking, how do you do that with your legs? Where do you get that strength? But now I see it's a year standing on poles.
Yes.
That's pretty cool, Tracy. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Just to see the results of that kind of training. Because that's the other thing, is like when you're doing it, when you're doing anything that's training wise in any discipline, you don't really see progress for a while until you look back. And a lot of people will get discouraged on the path because they're like, oh, I'm not better yet. It's about doing the laps. It's about actually doing the work. And then one day you'll be able to just do the thing.
Yeah.
But I find if people are focused on progress, they tend to not make very much. You know what I mean? It's like, just do the work. You know, I always say that, like, I describe life as like, I just swim laps. I don't count them. It's just about doing the work. And then one day I'm going to look back and be like, oh, wow, I've done this for a while and I'm pretty good at this. But if I'm thinking about it too much, then I'm going to get tired because I'm just, oh God, I'm still swimming. You know, it's like, just swim and then you'll get there, you know?
And you're right. That is so true. That's what's so true about life, is that, you know, when you don't think that you're there, you're right at the end. And some people quit right before they hit that before they hit that tunnel and you think it's over, I'm just gonna fall and let go. And it's right there. You could have made it if you would have took that extra step. And that's exactly what life is about when you're achieving things. You know what I'm saying? So you can't give up with anything, no matter how it looks. It's not all about how it looks. It's by your determination, your faith. And your faith will always bring you through in the end.
Yeah. Are you good at learning? Like, is that something that you had? Because a lot of people aren't good at being bad at something first, you know, to give themselves the kind of leeway to learn. Are you good at that?
No, I mean, it's, you know what? It's about doing it. One thing that I've always learned, even from him, is that you need to do everything at least three times. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So grab a train. It would be 3, 6, or 9. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it would be, you know, I'm going to do this three times a day. You know, because it takes three times for something to really set into your mind. That's one thing that he always taught me. So when I trained and I worked out, I always practiced three times. I always made sure it's this and that. And then if I want to go harder than that, I will go 3, 6, or 9.
Sure.
And you can always, like I said, achieve and get it. But I would not, a lot of things I wouldn't catch at first because it's very hard.
Sure.
But you had to just put it in, put the time in and make it happen, you know, and you can achieve it.
You just have that determination where it's like, even if I'm not good at this right now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to be good. And you kind of allow yourself that sort of leeway.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
That's it. See, I always say I'll try most things twice because you'll try a food and be like, oh, I don't like this food. And there'll always be someone who's like, well, you haven't had my version of that. And I'm like, okay, you know what? That's fair. That's fair. So what I'm going to do is say that your version is the best version of this thing. So I'll try it again. But if I don't like it, I'm never doing it again. It's like, I don't like mayonnaise, all right? It's just a thing I don't have. It's like, well, you haven't tried mine. You're right. Okay, I'll give it a shot. This is terrible, you know?
Yeah.
I live my life. So when did entertainment start then? Because you're competing, you're teaching in the Kung Fu school, you're so ingrained in this martial arts world. And then is it linking up with Ryan? You guys are like, let's go do this thing. Was the dinner theater the first, like?
Yeah, the dinner theater, us, no, like I said, when we were with Master Chan and we were Black Magic and White Lightning, and we would always go everywhere and do fight scenes. Then I remember when Ryan came in, because I would stay in the dormitory and I would lay on the couch. And Les Brown was on the TV. Les Brown, motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. And he came in and said, like, he's my dad wants me to go to college, man. I don't know what I want to do. But I said, you know what? I said, you know we're really good at what we do. I said, don't listen to Les Brown. I said, man, you know, we're good at fight scenes. I said, why don't we go and try to fight scenes? He said, you know what? There used to be on in Orlando, there was a on Bologna Drive, there was a martial arts store called East Coast Martial Arts. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, you know what? I was at East Coast Martial Arts. And he said, I saw that they had an audition for this Asian dinner show. I said, you know what? I said, Ryan, let's go, man. We got these fight scenes. Let's go. And so we found out what it was, and that's when we went. And you know what? Five was there with his guy. And Five was actually working at the Asian. This is how we all met.
Yeah.
Five was working at the Asian Adventure Dinner Show, and he was there. But then. And so once we came to audition, the guy saw how good we were. He said, man. He said, we've had Asian guys come in all day. He says, you know, but you guys, he says, y'all American. But he says, y'all better than all the Asian guys. And he was like, so you guys are hurt. He said, we just got to figure out what to do. He was like, you know, because I'm black.
Right.
And I was like, and then he was like, okay, you know what? He says, you can wear a ninja mask. And so we were the ninjas.
Sure.
But I ended up losing the job.
Oh, no.
Five, his guys is mad. So when we went to go do fight scenes, when we first got there, Five would be sitting out in orders with his guys and stuff. And then we always end up meeting. No matter where we went to where Five was there and his guys, because he had his own stunt crew and he was doing back then.
Yeah.
So make a long story short, after I won the tournaments in China, mm-hmm. I had a guy in the school, he's like, you know, Tracy, and Master Chan was like, you know, you're my only student that I would allow to open up another school in Orlando. So on the west side of Orlando, I had my martial arts school right on Hiawassee. And so
cool.
One of the students that came in that school from the university. And just We found out that WMAC Masters was filming.
Yeah.
And so, and then we found out that Pat Johnson, the choreographer for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Karate Kid, and
Oh,
all of that,
yeah.
was the director for WMAC Masters. And I was,
Oh.
yeah, so that's how I found out about that. And I was like, you know what? This is the only chance that I have. I said, this is the only time that I have that I can actually make it. So
Yeah.
my Arnie's teacher was a chef at Universal Studios. And then I had a couple stunt performers. So when I went to my school, I had stunt guys from Universal coming in. So I went and got me some professional headshots and resumes. And I
There
would
you
give
go.
them to all my students. And when they went to go work at Universal, they would drop them off to Pat Johnson, drop them off to Pat Johnson, drop them off to Pat
Smart.
Johnson. So, you know, after a period of time, I decided that, you know what, I'm going to go there. So I went there as a tour to watch and to sit in the audience with WMAC Masters. And when we went there to do it, remember now, I'm listening to Les Brown, like, you got to take your moment. When it's your time, you got to take it.
Yeah.
So the audience got up, the left. He said, all right, everybody, we're going to leave now. We're done with watching the show. Everybody got to leave, and they were walking out. And when I was walking out, I jumped up under the bleachers and I hid. And they all walked
Yes.
out. And I stayed up under the bleachers and I waited for 5 to 10 minutes when everybody was gone. And then all it was Pat Johnson sitting there and everybody else and just the crew. And that's I walked from the bleachers and I walked up. I said, Master Johnson. I said, hi. I said, hello, my name is Tracy Fleming. He said, Tracy Fleming. He says, I've been getting your headshots and resume every single day. He says, I'm happy to meet you. And I was like, he said, do you know anything about stunts and fight scenes? And I was like, no, sir. I said, but I've done fight scenes. And he says, well, I'll tell you this. He says, I've been seeing your resumes. I want to see how good you are. He says, you know, why don't you come by tomorrow and we're going to set up an appointment for you to do an audition. And that's how I end up getting into learning the fight scenes, learning choreography. So, you know, it's like in my life, I tell you, my life has been exciting. I can make a little movie about it if people
Yeah.
know, because when I met Pat Johnson, I at that time I had a tumultuous experience with Master Chan, and I had to leave the school. I got kicked out, and it was ugly. And
Sure.
I had a down point in my life, but when I met Pat Johnson, and Pat Johnson admired me because he was like, you know what? He told his son, he says, all right, everybody here, he says, Tracy is really, really good. So he took me under his wing. He took me under his wing, and he started to show me fight scenes and started to teach me how to move for the camera, the angles of everything of how to work on stage and snap. So
Yeah.
while we were doing WMA Masters, and we remind you, we were only the ninjas jumping out of fighting.
Oh yeah, I've seen him.
Master Pat Johnson got a call because he also choreographed Mortal Kombat, the movie.
Yeah.
So they were going to do Mortal Kombat, the live tour. And he said to me, he said, Tracy, he says, you know, I'm doing this. He says, are you interested in doing a live tour? He says, I would like to have you work in a show. And I says, yes, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and to make a long story short, that's when me and Ryan, he called me up. He says, you know what, Tracy? He says, we have a big thing coming to Universal because we're promoting a live tour for Mortal Kombat. He says, I want you to choreograph the fight scenes for the show. And I was like, what?
Whoa.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, it was like everything was changing for me. And that's when I got Ryan Watson together. I got Tyrone, these other guys that were working with us, and we all did a big demo for the Mortal Kombat live tour. And I was the choreographer for it. I have all that footage somewhere, man. I have to bring it out. But
Yeah.
when we did that show, we got the Mortal Kombat tour, and we was able to go on tour with that show. We toured all over the U.S., and then we did a European tour. And listen to this: when we did the European tour, he couldn't go on a European tour, so he made me the choreographer for the show for the European tour. So I was the
Dude.
choreographer. Yes. So he
Wow.
took me under the wing. He showed me how to do fight scenes for the camera, and he showed me how to do fight scenes for stage. And I was like, you know, he passed recently.
Yeah, I saw that.
And when I saw that he passed, it broke my heart because you know what? You think about Enter the Dragon, the Doe Roper.
Yeah.
Where's the Doe Roper? Like, he come from behind the bush, man. He was the man in martial arts movies from the beginning. And, like, for him to take me under his wing and just teach me about choreography, I'm still touched by it, you know. I'm really
Yeah.
touched. I'm really touched, yes. Yes.
I love that. See, that's that drive that I was talking about. Like, the fact
Yes.
that you had the forethought to be like, just keep getting my resume and headshots to him. You know, you're just planting seeds, right? Not
Yes.
knowing how it's going to happen. The fact
mm-hmm.
that you hid in the bleachers, that's amazing, dude. Like, that's what separates you from everyone else. That level of, like, don't let anything stop you, including yourself. You know, because anyone else would be too nervous to talk. Like, do I just go up? They said we have to leave. You know, you're like, I'm not leaving. And then he knew because the seeds were planted. And you were right. Luck is preparation meets opportunity, right? 100%. So you've done
Yes.
all this preparing, and then the opportunity arose. One plus one, dude. And the fact that it's World Masters, hosted by Bruce Lee's daughter. What is this full circle moment you have? Like, dude, what was that like to be a part of something like that? Did you ever have to sit back and be like, Bruce Lee movies started my life trajectory, and now I'm working on a show hosted by his daughter?
Exactly.
What?
I was able to meet and do fight scenes and shows with all the top martial artists in the country at that time. I'm Carmichael Simon, Hakeem Austin, and see, they didn't know me because I was not pretty much on the NASCAR circuit or the Blue Diamond circuit, the circuit that the main American circuit that everybody knows of martial arts.
Sure.
I was on the Kung Fu Chinese side.
Mm-hmm.
So but when I got to meet these guys and they started seeing me, they respected me because they were like, wow, this guy, he just came out of nowhere, but he's this damn
Right.
good. And so, we all became good friends. Larry Lamb, all of those guys, I got to meet and train with all of them. And then compete against them. We competed in the Honor Classic.
Yeah.
I actually choreographed the fight scene in the Honor Classic in 97.
Dude.
We won. We won the 10 grand. We won the
what?
Whole. Yeah, we won the Honor Classic. Me, Ryan, and our other, we had David Douglas, Gary Wah, and Anthony DeMarco. You know, so, I mean, it's the footage that, you know, and from what I hear, we were the trendsetters. We started the whole, you know, for the Honor Classic. That's when he first started the Honor Classic.
Yeah.
And we competed against 500 different teams to get to the top 10. And then after the top 10, then we made it to the final three. And from the final three, we won the first place. And then at that competition, I met Chuck Norris. Chuck
uh-huh.
Norris came and shook my hand. You know, and it was just amazing. It was like I was able to meet so many martial arts stars and stuff. So this is how it all came to pass, man. You know, so
yeah.
But I'm going to send you some footage. I'm going to send some stuff to you so you can check it out and then you can see, you can correlate everything to what I'm saying, you know, to you. So.
Yeah, please, dude. Oh man, I watched a thing that you did. It was on like a local news channel. It was about the Mortal Kombat, and it was
mm-hmm.
a scene with you as Cabal and Ryan as Sub-Zero, and you did like a minute long fight scene on the news, and you're like flipping and rolling and whatever. Like, it was
yes.
so cool. Could you see in that mask?
You know what? I had to get used to that. And
yeah.
the breathing was the hard part, you know.
Yeah,
you
I bet.
But you know, I pulled it off. I was able to do it, you know. And
yeah,
and
did.
That's how I started growing my. Because before I didn't have dreads, and I had to, you know, for the Cabal has dreads, so. I had to do braids and dreads and stuff, and that's how, you know, I started getting this hairstyle and stuff like
Yeah.
that. So, but yeah, Cabal was awesome, and Sub-Zero. But see, that fight scene me and Ryan did, that was one of the fight scenes we did when we were Black Magic and White Lightning for Master Chan. So he had his staff, it looks like a long staff with an end, and it's a long, like, nunchuck, but we call it a Daiso G. And
it.
I had shield and sword.
Yes.
And so we did. It's called Daiso G versus Shield. And
cool.
So, and that was the routine that we did.
That was so fun.
Yes.
And did you find, because you came from like an actual real fighting martial arts background with Kung Fu and Taekwondo, and this had a fight for real versus
mm-hmm.
fighting for screen and stage. Was there a learning curve for you to go from real fighting to fake fighting?
No. I mean, you know, the thing about you do have to have some understanding of, you've got to know real fighting in order to make it look real. You know,
Oh, okay.
one thing about Master Chan, I mean, not Master Chan, but learning from Pat Johnson, it's certain moves with certain angles that you have to hit. Just like when we
Sure.
did our fight scene. So it's like when
Yes.
you're at a certain angle, you have to kick the person to the body. You got to make it look real, because if you don't do that, it's not going to sell. Everything is about selling for the film. You know what I'm
Sure.
saying? Man, you've seen some goofy fight scenes.
Yeah.
We've all seen really like, man, that was cheesy. You know,
Right.
it's like, you know, but then you see the real ones like Raid from Redemption, or you see Jack Chan. Because in those guys, you might get hurt in a fight scene. You might
Oh,
get a bloody
yeah.
nose or something, but it's going to sell. It's going to look awesome. You know, I had Hakeem Austin punch me in my chest, and you know, he's a top kickboxer, number one kickboxer, and he almost cracked my sternum, man. I was walking around breathing like this for almost like a month and a half, and this guy
Oh,
kicked me so
no.
hard in my chest, you know. But I mean, it happens. It happens, you
Oh,
know.
yeah.
Yeah,
We hear about
definitely.
like Sammo Hung is like super famous for just beating the mess out of stuntmen.
Yeah. You know, Sammo Hung is Jackie Chan's older Kung Fu brother. He taught Jackie and Yu Bill. He was their older Kung Fu brother to teach them. So, you know, it's funny, you know, you look at, like I said, Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung, he has that look
Oh,
where
yeah.
you would suspect for him to be as bad
No.
as he is.
Yeah. He's very agile for a man his shape.
Yeah.
That man is quick on his toes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like the
Yeah.
real Kung Fu Panda. Like, don't
Yeah.
mess with that. And he's so strong.
Yeah,
Yeah.
very powerful, very powerful. So.
I'm with you there that there is, you know, you hear it all the time. Working with Donnie Yen, working with any of these big martial arts people, it's like there accidents happen. You know, you're in the heat of the moment, you're trying to sell it. I did a another workshop with Ryan back in February, January, February.
Yeah, he told me about that.
It was all hand to hand. And I oversold. I worked with Dave. So Dave and I got paired up because he wanted to put the actors together.
Yeah.
And we're selling this thing, and he went to throw a punch, and I oversold it, and my arm went back. And I actually have a scar on my hand because my hand hit the lens hood. It's like, ah, just real quick.
It
It
sliced it.
did.
Oh,
And I didn't
wow.
notice until it was over. I was like, because you know, you're in and you get done. So I go and I sit back down and I'm like, oh man, my hand hurts and there's blood everywhere. And I was like, oops. Cover it up, keep going.
It happens. It
It
happens
does.
all the time. It
It's
happens
got a
all
good
the time.
story to it, you know? Now that I've come, I'm like, yeah, I did that doing stunts. Tell your
Yes.
friends, you know?
Yes.
How'd you get involved with The Untouchable? Because that's a video game and it's you. You're the Untouchable. It's your face, it's your body. And it's at a time when that wasn't like as prominent, where the actor is his face in the game.
Yeah, I was living in DC at that time. But this is right. I was in between tour, so I was on tour with the world the tour, the U.S. tour, and then we was on break. And we was gonna go on the European tour, but I came to DC, and we had this guy call us up, and he's doing a video game, and he was using all the like top martial artists, and he was like, you know, Tracy, he says, you know, I would like to have you know, come and do the game, you know. So, you know, and when we talked, he was like, you know, you gotta have, you know, nice extension and this and that, and you know, and unique movements. So everybody had to have their own unique moves. And then to make the whole thing up, I didn't realize by my techniques and what I was doing that I was actually then becoming the untouchable.
Oh,
So
you didn't even know?
no, I didn't know, because it wasn't until it came out and I saw the video game, and then I'm in the middle. And I'm like, what is this? And then everybody was saying that, hey, you know, if you use Lee Kwai, he's the guy that, you know, he hits everybody quickly, he moves fast, and this and that. And I was impressed. But I was using Eddie Mortal guys, I was using Drunken Style, I was using Leopard Style, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, I never knew. I never knew. And then it, you know, but a lot of people told me they really enjoyed the game, you know, and that was right before it went into the whole 3D. It's still like, I think it was 2D or whatever, but
Yeah.
yeah,
It's like a
it's
Street
still,
Fighter kind of
yeah,
side
Street
scroller
Fighter
thing.
type game. Yeah,
Yeah.
but it was cool. I you know, certain things that happen that I find out, and people are, you know, I just hear these things, and then I'm like, wow, I didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
But
that looks
it's
like
cool.
me.
It was cool. Wow, yeah, you've really done some research on me. That's
Oh,
awesome.
yeah.
That's awesome.
This is how I operate. I do research before I even ask someone to come on my show. I do like 3 weeks of like deep dive, which
Yeah.
I knew from the moment we met. I was like, I would like to get to know this man better. But then I was like, all right, what has he done? Let's see. Because I already know he's cool, but I want to know why, you know?
Yeah. Well, they call me, when I went to China and I wanted to go metal, they call me Lee Kwai. That's my son's name. And Lee Kwai
Oh.
is actually, he was a black whirlwind. It was a novel called Water Margin that was actually took place. It was written during the Song Dynasty. But Lee Kwai was he was untouchable. They say he would run into battle. Before he would go to battle, he'd take off all his clothes and just his loincloth. He would have two axes. He'll run in, and they said hands and legs will fly everywhere. And then when he was done fighting the battle, he'll be covered in blood, and he'll just jump in the water, wash off, and get back up. You know what I'm saying? So they call him Lee Kwai, the Black Whirlwind, because in China back during those times they had all different. There was dark Asians and light Asians and
Oh,
all of
yeah.
that. So and so he, but he was Lee Kwai, the Black Whirlwind. And so when I won and competed in China, they called me Lee Kwai, the Whirlwind. I was like, what? So
What?
and that's why in the Untouchable, you see that black tornado, because that's the
Yeah.
world, the black world. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So
Yeah.
you got to have like creative input on the character as well in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
Because I call myself that too, and my son, then that's why he's Lee Kwai.
What? That's so cool. Wow. So what, in your opinion, having done this for so long, like what do you think makes a good fight scene? Because you won out of a group of hundreds. Like, what do you think it was? What are the ingredients that make a good fight scene?
It's the whole the mix up. It's, it's,
Yeah.
it's my style that I call now is called Wu 360. Okay, one thing that I learned is that Wu means martial arts, and 360 is the full circle. So it's
Ooh.
like you cannot be in one concept focused on one art. You master the arts that you master, but at the same time, you got to know a little bit about everybody and about
Sure.
every single art. But then when you fight, because you don't know what you're going to deal with.
Right.
When I would do Arnis, we would be in class. It'll be an MMA fighter, a Thai boxer, a Shotokan master, an Aikido master, me, Kung Fu guy. And so when we would do routines and fights or actually drills, you'd be in a circle, or you'd be like everybody in a single file line, and they're all coming to attack you. So when they're attacking you, one and one, they're all throwing something different. And
Sure.
if you don't know how to be able to mold and change and have the flow, understand what jujitsu is about, so he doesn't grab your back, he doesn't control your neck to get the lock.
Sure.
I had a kung fu school, and I had a jujitsu fighter come in and try to challenge me, And this is when I was training Arnis, so I was training with MMA guys, and I was training with jujitsu guys. And I know the main concept is don't let them get you where they can sprawl you, don't let them control your neck. And don't let them get your back, okay? And so we have different techniques that we learn in Arnis from the grappling on learning not to get on there. So his whole position was he was trying to get me, get my neck. Every time he get my neck, I know how to flow around. Then he try to go down and sprawl, so when he's going to try to take you, how to sprawl. And then he was trying to get my back. When he couldn't do those three things, he couldn't. He stopped because he was like, okay, sir. He says,
Right. I tried.
He said, you can't. I tried and I did, and I was like, good. And he came into my school, in my class, was really like, it was a kung fu movie. Like, hey, I do jujitsu one time. I said, listen, man, I said, come back later when my class is over. And, da 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 da. And this was,
Yeah.
and he didn't get me, and that worked out pretty good. So, but it happens, man. Things happen in life, and, you have to just grow, and not everybody's perfect, and the
Sure.
main thing is to have an understanding of every single thing. Because there's some boxers out here that are extremely good, so you got to know a little bit about boxing. There's some Taekwondo guys, Thai guys. My thing in life is you respect everybody, you
Yeah.
respect every person, because you don't know what the next man knows. You just give them,
True.
Now if you come in and you cocky and you have this and that, then you still be humble. You know what I'm saying? Like Bruce Lee. And Return of Dragon. Remember, he had the
Oh, yeah.
glasses, and he was the man. You just be humble. You be humble. That's how you move through life.
Yeah. And that sort of humility is what keeps you open to learning more, because it's always the person who thinks they know everything that is right before the fall.
Exactly. True.
You know? And Bruce Lee's whole thing, Jeet Kune Do, right? Use what works. Take little bits from here, little bits from there, which was novel at the time, because before it was like, you have your style and it's the best versus their style. It's like, well, what if your arm doesn't bend that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like using what works and having a rudimentary knowledge of all of it. That makes sense.
That's true. And this is how, you know, even Bruce Lee, if you look at Jeet Kune Do now, you would say this is the MMA of today,
sure.
The way he invented that system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing that I, you know, MMA is an awesome system, you know, the ground pounding, but it's just that they lost the spiritual side. They lost, like, you know, because a long time ago, if you had to learn martial arts, you had to go to a temple, to a monk. And you had to learn first the discipline, the esoteric ways, before you can get into trying to kill them and pound.
Sure.
Well, you take that out, then you make it a brutal bloodbath, and then you build on egos and cockiness. That's not right, but, you know. Have you ever seen, did you see the series called The Warrior?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The one that was based on Bruce Lee's writings?
Yes.
Great.
Yes. You know, and that was an awesome film. But as you can see, remember Asam?
Mm-hmm.
When his father was like, look, you need to learn, he says. And what happened? A monk came, took him away. But he said, before you, remember the monk, I want to learn everything. He said, no. He said, first thing you're going to learn how to do is you need to learn how to breathe. You need to develop your chi. You need to develop, you know, and that's what you're supposed to do. That's what's missing from the MMA, because then if you do this, you have more respect and honor for your fellow man, fellow woman. You know?
Yeah, I agree. That's something that, like, I've always been equally interested in the physical aspects of martial arts. Obviously, self-defense, learning to defend yourself and those that can't. But more so the honor side of it. You know, that it's like, it does matter how you win, I think. And it's like maintaining that sort of level where it's not barbarism, you know, for the sake of violence.
Yes.
It's like violence to maintain peace as opposed to violence for violence sake.
Exactly.
Now that you know so many styles and have trained for so long, do you have like a personal favorite? Like, obviously each one has its own applications, but like for you, we're like this one.
Boosting Bafa is a unique system.
Yeah.
I like that system a lot. You know, like everything is based on like the auspicious numbers, 108, like you said, 108 combinations, 108. But this system, like I said, you learn 108 techniques, even the wooden dummies, 108 different techniques on the dummy. But Wuxing Bafa is 108 combinations. So you learn a basic move, you're doing each combination is an application. So, you know, I like the system because it's a very traditional Shaolin system, but that's my base. And from there, I still flew into the other styles. I still do my Taekwondo. I still do the Wallon. I do the basics. You know, you got to keep your basics up. The key to life is the foundation.
Yeah.
You have a strong foundation, then you can keep on doing what you got to do. And now I do yoga. Because the age I am, you have to keep those joints flexible.
Yeah.
You have to do your yoga practice. It's very important, you know.
Sure.
If you know the story of Shaolin, Bodhidharma came from India. And he went to Shaolin to teach the Shaolin monks. When he sat with the monks, they were weak. When he used to try to meditate on them, he said, you guys are weak. He said, you guys got to learn these stretching and breathing exercises. So stretching and breathing is the most key to longevity. And then from there, you can build off of that.
I like that. And body, mind, spirit kind of thing, where you keep your body flexible, you keep your mind flexible, you're able to learn and grow.
Okay,
I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, man, listen, when we met and I met you, and I your personality and everything else, because sometimes people look at just the outer. Mm-hmm. They don't look at the inner.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that you looked at the inner more than the outer. And that's very rare. Very
it
rare.
Is, unfortunately.
Because life is very unique. You know, and everybody in life has a story. Even the man that's on the street living in a tent.
Yeah.
You know, and he might be the most beautiful musician or anything, but you know, life can deal people some bad cards, man.
Oh yeah.
You know? But it's how you live and how you perceive it. So this is how it is. And you know, I can tell when you sent me the podcast, I was very impressed. I was like, you know what? You know, this is a good man here. And I really honestly think that we will one day do a real powerful short film.
Oh
You know,
yeah.
maybe after this, we'll collaborate on a script. I have a script.
Hell
Maybe
yeah,
I can
dude.
go over there with you because, you know, it's the point of making it. And this is my, you know, the script that I have is called Skills.
Ooh.
And the way I wanted to do it is I wanted to have it include almost every race, every form of martial arts involved in it. And
Yeah.
at the same time, come to one thing, the love and peace and unity and growing and achieving. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? Because us as a people, we have to do this. You know, we see so many bad things going on in the world, and we get told this and told that. But the main thing is we stick like this and we grow, we can achieve. And that's the Hopi principle. The Hopi proverb says that one day the rainbow people will come back and restore peace onto earth. And the
Yeah.
rainbow people means all colors, all races. It's not about you're black, you're white, or you know, this and that. You know, it's not about that. It's about what's inside here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
Yeah.
right there with you, dude. I made a whole show about it.
Yeah.
I've been doing this show for this year will be 9 years.
Wow.
And the one thing that I've noticed is for over 200 episodes that regardless of how different everyone is, we are all still human beings. And on
Yes.
that, we can connect.
Yes.
And I love it. I love it. There's something, you know,
Yes.
where we are more than the physical, right? I'm a
Mm-hmm.
big luminous beings are we, as Yoda says. You know, it's like
Mm-hmm.
there's something else that we could connect on that human level. And
Mm-hmm.
that's I'm seeking that all the time. I just love
And
it.
that's like I said, when you talk about Yoda and all that, that's exactly because when you saw Yoda, most people are like, Yoda, what's this? This is not an accent. What is this? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's the baddest one. He's the one
Right.
that has the force. But this is the way the world is. People, like I said, you'll walk in and you'll walk past the gold and silver because you think it's over here. And
Yep.
really, it's right over there. You
Yeah.
know what I'm saying? It's right over there.
It's
And
true.
that's true.
That said, though, on that note, do you have any advice for like up and coming martial artists or up and coming choreographers or stunt performers or people who want to do what you do or have done?
Yes, I would say that you can achieve it if you believe. You write it down, write your goals down, you look at your goals every day, you say, okay, I can manifest and make it happen. No matter how bad things are, how bad things look, sometimes you think the road might go this way, and really, it's supposed to go over here.
Yeah.
So just stay focused on your craft. Make your craft what you need to make it. Remember, one brick at a time can build a pyramid, but it's
Yeah.
one brick at a time. Okay, so if you stay to the goal, stay to the prize, you can achieve
Oh, I love that. I love
it.
it. Dude, just like that. We've been talking for an hour. You survived,
Yeah.
Tracy. Look at you.
Yeah. Number.
Now,
Yeah.
before I release you back into the wild, I gotta ask, where can people find you online? Where can they find your stuff? Talk to me.
Okay, well, I am on Facebook and my name is Tracy Fleming. I know I'm just out there. I do have my profile martial arts page. I'm also on Instagram at Wu360. And you can also go TMF Wu. That's Wu, TMF Wu on Instagram as well. So, but I am actually going to be putting out more footage.
Sweet.
I do sell herbal tea as well, herbal blends
Ooh.
to help people with their ailments and stuff like that. Because my main goal is to help people heal. We
Yeah.
got to heal from the pain and the trauma, and we got to keep moving forward and striving to the top. That's all. Okay.
Dude, I knew this was gonna be a blast, but it was even better than I thought.
Yes, man.
Oh man, what it's so fun, dude. Thank you so much. I
Yes,
appreciate you.
sir. Anytime, anytime. And I will be sending you some pictures and links and stuff. You've seen quite a few, but I'll
Yeah,
send some
yeah.
to
I'll watch them again. Don't threaten
you.
me with a good time.
Okay. Take care,
Hey.
sir.
Hello, friends. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Interesting Podcast. If you'd like to follow the show and stay up to date on new episodes, it's at Pod of Interest on Twitter and Instagram. If you'd like to follow me, I'm at Jedi Brian on all social media sites. You can also find me at brianbalance.com. There you'll find my demos, recent projects, and other stuff I'm up to. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and tell your friends. A good rating or review always helps and is greatly appreciated. Let the people know we've got some cool stuff going on over here. As speaking of cool stuff, we now have merch. Just search The Interesting Podcast on TeePublic to pick you up some sweet gear. And if you'd like to support the show more directly and get early releases while you're at it, you now have that option over at patreon.com/JediBrian. On that note, special thanks to Ben, Chris, Daryl, Daz, and Victor. Your support means so much to me, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. So until next time, be well.